I'm with Miguel Cuevas from Flavours of Spain. Firstly, Miguel, welcome. It's always nice to have a conversation. Even better today, you cooked a paella from scratch over a wood flame.
Thank you very much, yeah. Dan, and thank you for coming and trying my paella again.
Now, can we talk a little bit about the event you've got coming up in Manly? Can you give us some background on what it is and how the day will run and what you're looking for from the contestants on that day?
Yep, it'll be on Saturday the 30th of May, starting at midday, and it's part of the Taste of Manly Festival, Food and Wine Festival. And once again, we're just looking for the best paella chefs in Oceania. So we have competitors from Singapore, Bali, all across Australia, and they all have been selected for their knowledge and skills when cooking paella. And as last year, the top three will come with me to Spain for the World Finals in late July. And really what we want is people to come and show us their best recipes.
Mm. Last year, Hassan from out of Africa won the competition. And how did he fare when you took him to Spain?
He was good. He was really good. He arrived and he had a local assistant chef. And bearing in mind how unlikely is that you can cook paella on a fire here in Australia, he did very well because, you know, the disadvantage with the Australian chefs is that we don't cook on the fire. That's why when we have the winners last year, I sent them some information and did a masterclass to cook on a fire, on wood fire, that is. But Hassan was, you know, he was just like here in the finals. He was very calm and he was doing his best.
Now, today you cooked with orange tree wood, which added a nice element, smoky element to the actual paella. So tell us a little bit about the difference between cooking with wood and gas.
To give it an example, not accurate, I'm sure, but I think it's 20% better flavor when you use orange tree wood fire. Most wood would do, fruit tree wood, but it's just the rice, the fire that comes under the pan, the smoke goes around and then it goes back on the top, and some of it gets absorbed by the rice, and it just gives it an amazing smoke flavor.
Now, if people look on Instagram, I've actually posted a picture of Miguel with the flame, and you'll be quite surprised exactly how much heat goes into it. I mean, it's quite, you know, a lot of chefs could maybe disturb looking at it, but I can tell you that none of the seafood was overcooked. The rice was cooked perfectly. And it is quite amazing from the outside looking in that you have to trust yourself when you're cooking at that level.
Yes, and luckily you always have someone around the pan so you can talk to them and get distracted. But it can look a little bit worrying seeing all that fire going. But look, if you do it like everything else, practice may perfect. If you do it very often, at the end you just, you know, I guess it's the same as driving. When you don't know how to drive and you see someone driving, you think that's very difficult. Once you get the hand of it, it's just second nature.
Can you take us through the ingredients you use today? What makes a good paella? So as far as you're concerned, what would you be using as your ingredients?
Well, I use as much as I can local, but then again, some of the ingredients are not available locally, seasonally. So today I use Spanish saffron, which is very available at the moment. Usually I use Australian saffron from Tasmania. I use Australian green beans called European or Italian flat beans. The rice is from Spain because it's bomba rice and it absorbs 50% more stock, which makes it more flavorsome. And the seafood is all sustainable Australian seafood. And then we had some locally sourced capsicum and some amazing essential herbs from Australia, which is the lemon myrtle. And yeah, I had very good guests there, and you guys finished it all.
I'll tell you what, it was hard not to. The stock you use today, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's really important, because the rice is absorbing fluid. Obviously, you want that liquid to have flavour.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the stock that you made today.
Yeah, I make stock in advance, so it then has time to settle, and then I filter it, and even though it looks just like golden, it has a lot of ingredients in it, even though it just looks like a golden liquid. I don't like it chunky, And he has celery, bay leaf, he had the prong heads, and he has monkfish, which is a rockfish, very tasty. But all bones, not the meat, just the bones. And he has some carrot as well. And you just boil it, don't boil it too much, 10-15 minutes. Otherwise, the fish stock can get too fishy if you boil it much. Then let it sit, 10-12 hours, and then filter it with a spoon server, what do you call that?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And filter it through a sieve or a very fine sieve, and let it cool down, and you can freeze it. There's no problem, because if you're at home and you don't use it all, you freeze it and then use it for another occasion. Stock, whatever they tell you, is the most important ingredient in a paella. Obviously, rice is number one. No rice, there's no paella. But then after rice, it's stock.
I mean, if you take a shortcut with stock, it's just going to show in the paella, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to taste... not. The stock has to be a humble stock, not too complicated. But if you use any other stock, it's just going to reflect. It's a mirror.
I noticed today, too, when you were cooking the paella, you built your seasoning very carefully in it, through the process of it. Can you tell us a bit about the seasoning of the paella?
Yeah, I just didn't add any salt at the beginning. Just half the way when I started adding the seafood... salt can break down ingredients faster, so I just didn't use it at first. And then when all the stock and everything was already added in, I boiled everything for a few minutes before I added the rice. Why I boiled it is so that all the ingredients mix, and then you can get the true amount of salt. Because sometimes you think there's not enough salt, and then you boil it, and the ingredients are salt ingredients, and then the stock will become saltier. So you just have to boil it a little bit first, and then you add the salt, which in this case today, we didn't need to add any more salt. I added a little bit of lemon myrtle, and previously you saw how I quickly toasted the paprika, which I'm not going to go and explain here, but it's a really useful tool, not just for paella, but for other things.
I noticed today we're talking about some people will add their seafood in afterwards to reduce the element or the risk of it being overcooked. However, today, over a raging hot wood fire, you added it to begin with and nothing was overcooked. So can you explain to us the technique of that? Because a lot of people will get scared and they'll think, no, I'll add it in at the end. Mm-hmm. I don't want my squid overcooked. I don't want my prawns overcooked, mussels.
Yeah.
But today you went the opposite way and nothing was overcooked in the seafood.
This is a compromise between Spanish and Australian style. Australia is just like you said, they add it at the end. In Spain, they add it at the very beginning and they fry it mercilessly and then they boil it, because we don't really eat the fish in the paellas in Spain, nor the meat when you add meat. We just boil it and fry it to extract all the flavors that will go into the rice. And we mainly only eat the rice. You have a plate of paella in Spanish home and they move all the fish to the side and eat the rice. So I found a middle way here. I add the seafood pretty much almost at the beginning. I fry it medium rare to rare. And then I start doing the boiling process. It coats it. When you fry it at such strong fire, and not for too long, it coats the seafood, you know, it hardens the edges, the around part, it keeps the moist inside, and then you can boil it safely.
I noticed at last year's competition, when I was wandering around, actually looking at the chefs, a lot of them did start to panic a bit in that last 5 minutes. A lot wanted to fiddle with it. Actually, I was at near the winner's stall when he... in the last 5 minutes, and he was very patient. He just trusted it, but he was listening to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of others were starting to panic. They were worried that they were going to over-caramelise the bottom. What you listen for fluid in it, and then listen for other aspects as far as the saccharide in it. So can you explain a bit about that?
Yeah. In Spain, we say the paella is singing, está cantando. And it's when the stock at the bottom disappears, it's already all cooked, all absorbed, actually. And then the oil and the fats that remain at the bottom are frying the rice at the very bottom. So it makes a popping sound, like popcorns, but thousands of them. It's really hard, unless you practice, because it's very similar to the same popping sound that the last little bit of stock will make when it's boiling. But it's not the same, but it's similar. But if you get it right, it's just like having a little LED screen telling you Socarrat is ready. Mm. It's just the same. That sound tells you that it's ready. But you have to be brave and trust yourself. Like you said last year, some people didn't trust themselves, so they didn't get it right. Some people, they just waited too long and they burnt it. So it's just practice makes perfect.
And it is so important to the player, isn't it? It adds like a secondary texture to it. Also adds flavour, that lovely caramelised taste through it. So a player without that is going to be diminished.
Yes, I'll give you an example. If you have a latte coffee, the milk is not the most important thing, but if it's too hot or too cold, the coffee is not going to be right. The Socarrat is the same. It's not the most important thing, but it has to be perfect. It has to be the right amount. Otherwise, the paella as a whole is not going to be the perfect paella. And the perfect paella is not hard to achieve, but it's hard to keep your mind focused on the five main things that you have to achieve.
So you would be one of the most preeminent judges in Australia to judge a paella. What are you looking for in the competition when you're judging it? Take us through the aspects of what you're looking for.
Yeah, I look into what I learned in my experience in Valencia, in northern Spain as well, London, in many places. When people eat paella, they want to have, first and foremost, the flavor. Everyone likes the flavor. That everywhere I've been to, everyone likes the flavor. And then the second most important is the Socarrat, which is the crusty bit at the bottom. Some places, they don't care so much about it. In Australia, many people don't care, but in Spain, it's almost more important than the flavor. So it's very important. And the third thing is the hardness of the rice. It has to have a bite to it. And the color, it was a difficult one, because some places in England, they like it really yellow. But in Spain, we like it golden. That's how it's supposed to be. Outside of Spain, some people like it more yellow because they have been misled in how paella is supposed to look. Look, paella is a very old dish. Back then, they didn't have any colorants. It didn't exist. They used saffron, and it was as yellow as saffron can make a dish, which is golden, not really yellow. So we don't really want a very yellow paella. And then the last one, important but not as important as the rest, is the symmetry. You don't want all the beans cluster in one side, or you don't want the prawns around in one side and nothing on the other. You have to have it all in a nice symmetry. The top of the paella has to look symmetric, and you have to be able to see all the ingredients that you use have to be there for the judges to see, so you know what ingredients that paella has.
So if these chefs too will be cooking under a lot of pressure, because the rewards are obviously very great. What advice could you give them, if maybe just one thing or a couple of things under that pressure to watch for on the day?
Well, it's a cliche, but have fun, because if you try to have fun, you're going to forget about the pressure. And just make a paella. Don't try to make a super paella or a different paella. Just make a paella, because last year maybe 50% of the contestants disqualified themselves by trying to make something that was too special or trying to make it too good. And then at the end of the day, what we want is a paella with all the five main things properly done. And my best tip for anyone would be to make a good stock.
Yes.
Yeah. Make your own homemade stock. Mm-hmm. Use fresh, humble ingredients, and don't touch any pre-made stocks, really, because we can taste them.
Yes. Will the chefs be allowed to bring stock with them, or should they be making that on the day? Or?
They can bring their stock with them. Yeah, mm-hmm. They can prepare it themselves. I understand. I'm a chef myself. It's a Saturday competition, lunchtime. So some of them would have to have service for lunch or service for breakfast or the night before or after the competition. So we allow people to have ingredients prepared. But as I said, we are all experts here in the jury, yourself and Milo and a couple others and myself. And we all know what a good homemade stock tastes like.
Exactly. Last year, it's actually the first time we've met up since it happened, but I gave you my Catering of the Year award because of your company Flavours of Spain. I've been to events where you've cooked for 10, where you've cooked for 100. I went to Manly Corals. Well, how many people were there that day?
I think 6,000.
6,000. So I've seen you cooking from 10 to 6,000. but no matter what the scale, you seem to be able to adjust to it. Can you tell us about your company, Flavors of Spain, and what you can offer in that respect?
Yeah, we can offer much more than just honest paella and honest tapas. We do have fresh ingredients, and I respect how things have been created in Spain, and I understand that some dishes have been there for so many decades that there is no way to make them any better, really, but you can tweak things around. I like to add a little bit of lemon myrtle to the pie and things like that. But what we get is fresh ingredients, top quality ingredients, as you have experienced with us. And I don't really mind if I cook for 10 people or 5 like today, 5 judges or 6,000. I'm going to cook every paella and every dish with the same ingredients and with the same care as if I was going to eat it myself, which is pretty much the case every time anyway.
Now, for people in, for corporate catering, this would have to be nearly the perfect dish.
Yes.
Because you can cook for X amount of people. It's something that's going to go across mixed demographics. It's got theatre about it too. So yeah, at your event, you've got this cooking, amazing paella being cooked. You've got the theatre of it, then you've got people interactively coming and eating it. So for people in the corporate world, that would be a fantastic thing for them to add to their event.
And they like to see it. It's live cooking. They bring their mobile phones and they take pictures and they film the paella while it's being cooked. And they ask questions. And then it's a really, really good value for money as well, because you know, the more people you have, the less it is per person. But I have to say that we are really passionate about what we do. So if you have a special event and you want everyone to have really good food, this is the number you have to call. It's us. But if you just want to have a standard event and you just want canapes and the like, we're not into canapes and we're not into cocktail food. We're really passionate about what we do. And we enjoy every dish we cook. So if you want people to leave your party with an amazing memory, and we'll talk about this for many, many days, just give us a call.
One thing I'll say about Miguel too at these events, if anyone's got any questions for him, he's always more than happy to answer them. So if you've got some passionate cooks or just food lovers that, you know, having trouble at home with their paellas, because yeah, most people attempt it and fall at different hurdles of it.
Yes.
So can you tell us from the home cook point of view, I know we have talked about this before, but for this interview, what are the mistakes that the home cook makes with paella?
Okay. It's very, very easy, because a lot of people do the same ones. You need a good burner. You can't cook a paella on a kitchen stove. It's too small. You need a burner which is a double ring burner, the small one being twice the size of your standard kitchen one. Reason being, the paella pan needs different temperatures around different areas of the pan. It sounds complicated, but it's not really complicated. I mean, it's just basically at the end of the paella, the center has to be off and the edges have to be full on. And at the beginning, quite the opposite. The center has to be very hot and the edges have to be lower. I can tell anyone who needs more explanations about this, no problem, they just can contact me. But get a good burner, that's essential. And then secondly, buy good rice. As we saw today, a good quality Spanish paella rice absorbs up to 50% more of the stock than your standard risotto or your standard rice. And that means that it absorbs more flavor. People will think it tastes better. Mm. It's not that it tastes better, it's just that it's more flavor per grain of rice. And as we say in Spain, your paella is as good as each and every grain of rice in it. Mm. So the better quality grain of rice, the more chances that you have. And obviously, as I'll never tire of saying, a good stock.
Because mm. the rice is absolutely true. You use Bomba rice in yours?
Bomba rice, yeah.
Could the home cook access that from anywhere? Could they buy that?
Yes, it's many Spanish delicatessens or Spanish suppliers. And I think essential ingredient shops. And you just Google Bomba rice Sydney, Bomba rice Melbourne, Bomba rice wherever you live, and you'll find somewhere. And it's worth it. It's, instead of $5, you spend $10. But instead of good one or two compliments, you get 20 compliments.
Mm. Well, I do look forward to the championship. On what day is it and what time should the public be there?
Saturday the 30th of May, and people are very welcome to come if they want to see how behind the scenes are working at 10 in the morning up to 12, but from 12 o'clock is cooking time.
Just like to mention too that this event really wouldn't happen without the support of Manly Council, who have been extremely good to you with these events. Could you just talk a little bit about getting help from that side of it?
Yes, Manly is very proactive in making some food and community events happening, and I'm a local here, so they're being extremely helpful. They've insisted that they would do the best they could, and not only they did, but they went beyond that. And I have to say that this year is happening because of them, really.
Excellent. All right, thanks, Miguel. We'll talk again afterwards, but thank you again for lunch today. Another magnificent paella. I expect nothing less now. You have spoiled it a bit for me because I can't, having trouble eating it elsewhere. But I do look forward to the championship, and it's a chance for from chefs from Oceania to benchmark themselves against chefs in Spain,
yes.
The home of paella.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Miguel.
Bye-bye.